Blind Cool Tech, 47, July 15th, 2005. Hey y'all, how is everybody? I'm Larry Skutkan, your host for Blind Cool Tech. Blind Cool Tech is a podcast about everyday, ordinary, average people who are also blind. This show may be of interest for you if you know a blind person, or if you're blind yourself. We cover a wide variety of topics, focusing quite a bit on technology, but also on everyday tasks and alternate ways to perform them if you do not have usable vision. Blindness is not a sickness or an affliction. It's merely a characteristic that some people have, just like with blonde hair or blue eyes. We're ordinary people who happen to also be blind. We'd love to have you tune into this show and find out how blind people do everyday normal things like mowing the lawn, washing the car, just your everyday average things. We also discuss cool technology that blind people can use. Check out our website at aph.org/tech/bct.htm, and we look forward to seeing you on the show. In today's show, we're going to do a demo of talking word puzzles. We had Mario Island on the show the other day, and he talked about a new beta that's just been put up on the website, but I'd like to give you more of a flavor of what this program is all about. Before we get into that, though, I happened to be in a training room yesterday setting up for a training session about BookWizard Producer that we were going to record, and I ran into Tristan Pierce, who we had on an earlier show. She's the multiple handicapped and physical fitness project leader in the Department of Educational Research here at American Printing House for the Blind. And she just got back from Albania, where she does volunteer work for independent voting. And I happened to be running the recorder at the time. I don't do this all the time. But she gave me permission to share our conversation, so here it is.
Oh, did you?
I got to interview the chairman and the secretary of the Association of Blind Albanians in Beret. So this was the first election that people who are blind could vote independently in Albania. The OSCE, which is the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, that's who I do elections for. They worked in collaboration with this organization, and they developed a template for the two ballots. There's the party ballot and the candidate ballot, and they created a template so that blind people could vote independently.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I got
Albania's
with the guys, and yeah.
Albania's ahead of America on that, aren't
well,
they?
Well, the thing was, I thought, this is so low tech.
Yeah, but it works.
It's so inexpensive, but that's it. They were delivered in the materials to every polling station in Albania.
Neat.
Whereas I was explaining to these guys, I said, well, we have this really high-tech computer system where people can vote independently. I said, but because it is so expensive, like in my town, only two polling stations have it. I said, your solution here is very low-tech, but yet it's made available to everyone who wants it.
Yeah.
Now, in the polling stations that I saw, I only observed one woman who was blind, and she opted not to use it. She just wanted her daughter to go with her and do it.
Okay.
But what's interesting is you use it, it comes with a cassette. And so you put the cassette player with the earphones
that's
on.
How that works.
And the cassette will say, number one, the lights. Okay. Number one, this candidate. Number two, this candidate. They list them down. And what you do is the template has, down the right-hand side, it has square holes cut in it. So you put your pencil in there and make the X in the square.
Interesting.
So your finger just, you know, you start at hole number at the one. There's no Braille on the template. Yeah. These two guys I interviewed couldn't read Braille.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and a lot of people probably can't.
Yeah, and one of them had those very, very thick, thick type glasses that almost like you have a center circle inside the lens, you know. The other guy just wore very, very dark glasses, but they weren't really thick looking. But what's interesting is the one who really, really looked like he was blind to me, he was leading the one who didn't look like he was blind. But so I don't know if they had always been visually impaired and they never bothered to learn Braille, or they lost their sight later in life and so they never learned Braille. But you just take your finger at the top hole, then you listen to the cassette, and as they call down the names, you just move your finger down the hole. And when you hear the candidate of the party you want, you stop, put your pencil in that hole, make an X, pull your ballot out of the template, fold your ballot into fours, and put it in the ballot box. Very low tech,
awesome.
Very simple.
Very, yes, very effective.
Yeah. Now, I can't say that every polling station I went into, I saw a cassette player only.
Yeah.
You know, the template was delivered to every polling station, but no guarantee every polling station had access. And I mean, I went way, way up into the mountains to like this furthest polling station that, you know, was like Timbuktu, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody was doing family voting, which is illegal. And there's a big sign right there that says no group or family voting, but they all did it anyway.
Hey, do you mind if I record that and play it on that podcast? That is so fascinating.
Uh-huh.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you can use photos on a podcast, can you? Because I got a ton of photos.
I can, too.
You can?
Yeah. Send me a couple of them.
Okay.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I got them.
Okay.
Cool.
Wow, that is neat. In
I have close-ups of the template, so you can actually see the templates with the holes.
Yeah.
And then I have like a photo of us sitting around a table talking, you know, me interviewing them with my interpreter. And then I have a photo of me holding the two templates up for the camera, and the two men are on either side of me. That's the one Nancy's going to use in the In Touch.
Now, did you know about that before you went there?
When I got to Tirana, the capital, and once again, I arrived with no clothes. This is the second time in Albania. My suitcase has not arrived.
I knew you were traveling nude.
But seeing how it was the second time, I knew exactly what store to go to, and the same little Turkish man was there.
He remembered you.
Oh, yeah, he was happy to sell me another dress. So something about being in a foreign city and knowing exactly where to go to for clothes.
Yeah, that helps.
Maybe
you better start taking a carry-on.
Yeah. Oh, I wonder if he's paying off the airlines.
He could be. If some of your old clothes show up in his shop, you better start getting suspicious.
Yeah, a couple years from now, I'll buy them back.
Yeah?
You know, this window, I don't know why I hadn't found this before. It doesn't read to me the list of files in the open file dialog.
Uh-oh. Really?
What's up with that?
I never noticed that either.
Something?
No.
Icon.
Why don't you reboot?
Reboot?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say either that or just unload window eyes. Yeah, I think it might, too.
So I guess I will end up having an unloaded window eye. I think it even messes up jaws.
Oh, does it? I never noticed that. Uh-oh, Jake hears his ball.
Yeah. When I got to Tirana, I asked around if there was a residential school for the blind, and someone told me at the hotel, they said, yeah, there is one, it's around here and here and here or whatever, but they didn't know exactly, you know. And so they wrote it down on a piece of paper for me, but then I had to leave Tirana to go to Berat. And when I got to Berat, my LTO, that's long-term observer. I'm an STO, a short-term observer. My LTO goes, they went in May, and they're the ones who then hired the interpreters, interviewed all the interpreters and the drivers and, you know, got all that ready, and then paired us together and stuff. So when we first got there that first night, we were all just going around saying, you know, what we did in the real world. And I said what I did in the real world. And she said, oh, she goes, I just met the man of the Blind Albanian Association. He lives here in Barrette. Hmm. And I said, can I meet him and interview him? And she said, I'll get his phone number for you. So she gave me his phone number, and my interpreter called him and told him, and him and this other guy came right over to my hotel, and we sat and talked. They brought the templates for me to see. And
neat.
Yeah, it was a good time getting to talk to them. Interesting things, which I put in the article for Nancy, like they don't have free matter for the blind like we do through postal service, but the government pays, if you're blind, the government pays 80% of your electric bill and 80% of your phone bill.
Wow.
You're supposed to get 50% off on all travel, like if you need a plane ticket or a bus ticket or something.
Well, that's nice.
But he says that's rarely applied because just the people out there don't know that that law exists.
Yeah.
And so you try to go buy a ticket and you tell the guy behind the little guichet, what's that in English? The little ticket window, that, you know, you're... Because you're blind, you get your ticket half price. They look at you like you're some sort of an idiot. Like, no way I'm going to sell you a ticket half price, because they just don't think that it exists. So he says it's very, very rare that he gets to purchase a travel ticket for half price, even though it is a law.
Okay.
But the kids at the, he told me the kids at the school, it is a residential school in Tirana, and the kids only go home for summer vacation and for, like, long holidays. They don't go home on weekends like the kids here do.
And it's K through 12 school?
Yeah. I said they do have, like, the teachers that are there, the majority of them are either visually impaired or blind.
Hmm.
If you finish high school and you do want to continue college, the federal government provides financial aid.
I was just going to ask that. What about access to textbooks?
I asked him about that. He said that there are about two or three small companies in Tirana who make Braille books.
Oh, really? Okay.
They're probably just for the school, most likely.
Yeah.
The group that he has, they publish a monthly newsletter that's on cassette. It's called The Light Voice. And they publish any actions by the government to keep them informed on what's happening and what might pertain to them and stuff. And then they also publish poems and short novels on the cassette.
Neat.
Yeah.
What'll be done?
I mean, they've only been, they incorporated in, I think it was January 1991, because, you know, it hasn't been that long since Albania was a communist. So,
yeah.
So I think they've done really well in the short time that they've been in existence. They say they get along really well with the government. The government, they have a good reputation, he said, with the government. Now, the government that's there right now is socialist. The Democrats won the election, but the socialists right now refuse to succeed failure. They refuse to accept the vote. They're asking for a recall of 30 areas.
Did they have dimpled chads, too?
No, everything's done with a pen.
Oh, that's right. They're pencils.
Yeah, pencils, okay. Pens. So, actually, pens. I'm not supposed to use pencil, I don't think, because then someone could erase your vote.
Yeah.
But,
that's fascinating.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay, so I was glad I had the recorder rolling while Trissa and I talked, and she's a good sport. She didn't mind sharing that with the rest of you. It's interesting information. We got lots of email again, a couple of notes. Mark McCahey, who actually works for Sun now, wrote and expressed interest in the podcast and actually pointed out I have a problem with my RSS feed. He was telling me that I wasn't putting the date, the 15 part of July 15. And I got to looking through the RSS file, and actually what was going on is I only had it for dates 1 through 9, so that's just a bug in the script that I'm using to generate that RSS. I've got a really easy way set up to generate my show notes and the RSS feed and the web page, so that I just wrote in VBScript, so I need to go in there and take a look at that and get that corrected, which I will do. Mark also asked about the availability of DAISY 3 audio material. well, in audio as opposed to what you can get on Bookshare.org in text format. And, you know, I think he was listening to some of the earlier podcasts about, you know, we were showing some of the magazines and some of the books. Unfortunately, those will not be available for another year or two. There's APH has one DAISY 3 book that's full audio, full text, which is Verbal View of Windows XP. And we have two more that are about to be released, Verbal View of Word and Verbal View of Word Advanced, which will be reviewing or demonstrating for you on this show when they are finally available. Should be in the next week or two, I suspect. But other than that, most of the people in the United States are still using the DAISY 2. That's what RFB&D is using. I know up in Canada, CNIB is also using that, but NLS has elected to extend the standard out. They're actually calling it Z3986. 2005, or ANSI and ISO Z3986, I should say, which is an extension. It makes the files more structured. It's all XML based, but it'll be a year or two. And I think many of you probably heard the session we did with NLS at the NFB convention, and I was delighted to learn that magazines and books will be available for download to NLS patrons, so that'll be really, really nice. And I'm going to have to tell a story on Mark. I've known Mark I guess for probably nearly 20 years now. Yesterday we were just talking about the Apple days, and Fred Otto, one of my colleagues here at APH, and I were at the Closing the Gap conference in Minneapolis. This was back in the 80s. And Mark's mother, and I don't remember if Mark was there or not, but she heard Fred's voice and said, "I recognize your voice from the Pro Words manual," because Fred Otto had narrated the manual for Pro Words for me. And she says, "Mark just loves you." She said, "He goes to sleep listening to you every night." So how's that for some memories there, Mark? This is really fun, hearing back from people that I hadn't heard from in years and years. We also got another email from Kelly in Chicago pointing out some tips for me on microphone placement and file normalization and so forth. And we actually do normalize these files. I'll be honest with you though, Kelly, I am not an audio engineer. I'm a programmer by trade. I find this interesting, but I am the first to admit that I've got a lot to learn. But I will learn, and I hope the quality of these shows will increase steadily, and I hope that we can make these on-site interviews and these group discussions a lot more interesting with some proper microphone placement and some better equipment. So I really appreciate the tips, and I will be doing that. We have a comment from an audio comment from the comment line, which you can reach, by the way, at 206-984-9203. And Jose here really appreciated hearing Don Barrett's report, and here's the comment.
"Hey, Larry, this is Jose in Kansas City. Outstanding show. Just heard the podcast on the CPAP machine, and I too have sleep apnea. I've had it for a few years, and I also discovered it through a dear friend of mine. I was in her car, and she realized that I wasn't breathing. And I got tested, and sure enough, I was not breathing 27 times an hour, which was not a good thing, obviously. However, I almost blew it off because I was like, yeah, I have a CPAP machine. I know all about this stuff. So, I mean, there's really not much I'm going to learn here, but I kind of stay tuned and listened in the hopes that there was something new or exciting that I would have learned. And I just learned that my machine ain't nothing compared to the one that, I guess his name is Don, that Don had. That was outstanding. Mine doesn't do that. Mine is cheap. I have CPAP MV now. So I will be calling the provider probably tomorrow and see if I can get one like what he has. Mine just gives you air pressure, and you have to kind of exhale against the pressure. And you inhale and, you know, whatever. And it does have a humidifier, which I find very useful. Otherwise, my throat gets kind of dry. But he's right. I can definitely tell the difference. My challenge is forgetting to put the sucker on. Sometimes I'll activate the heating. It's got like a hot plate that heats the water for the humidifier. And I'll turn it on. It takes about 20 minutes to get hot. And I'll doze off without the mask on because I was waiting for it to get hot. And I've tried a little alarm from Radio Shack, a digital alarm, but that doesn't seem to help. It just kind of beeps a few times and stops, and I seem to sleep through it. I need something that I can set really easily that's going to wake me. I don't want to set the clock. I don't want to move around a whole lot once I set the machine. But that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Anyway, 73 from Kansas City. I am a ham. I'm not sure if you are or not, but the call is November 0, Sierra Mike Charlie. And you have yourself a wonderful... really enjoyed what you did at the NFP convention with the equipment. I am buying a new house, and I'm drooling about getting a front-loading washer, but that's not going to happen. I'm going to end up having too much month at the end of the money, but I hope to get that eventually. So, you take it easy. Keep up the good work. This is really cool, and I wonder what type of podcasting software you use to retrieve podcasts. I went to the website, and there was dozens of them on there. There's a link to it from your site, but I couldn't figure out which one of these to download that would be the most accessible. This is really cool. You take care. Have a good day.
Okay, Jose. Thanks for the comment. Appreciate the information. I hope you don't suffer too badly from CPAC envy. The software that I recommend using for your podcatching activities is iPodder. And the easiest place to get that, because the link on my page, I need to actually change that. But the easiest place to get it is at jeffbishop.com. He's got a direct link to download it, and it's very accessible. It's a clean interface. It's easy to use. The documentation is not the best in the world, but most of the interface is self-explanatory, so it should be pretty easy to get up and running. One comment I meant to make yesterday too on Don Barrett's review is that when he was getting the wind blowing through there, I had to laugh when he said it sounded kind of like Larry mowing the lawn in a tornado, because I actually had a similar experience. No, I was not mowing the lawn in a tornado, but I was mowing the lawn last year during the 17-year cicada cycle that was going on, and I swear to you, I could not even hear the lawnmower. That's how loud the cicadas were, and I actually have a recording of those, which I recorded at my house on, I believe it was May 15th at about 6 o'clock in the evening. This was right after I first got the Arcos recorder and the microphone, and this is what they sounded like. So it was pretty amazing. I've actually been using that as my Windows startup sound. You know, I remember them from the 17 years previously, and, you know, they were covering the ground everywhere, and, you know, it was like you couldn't even see telephone poles because they'd be swarmed up around them in a mound about 6 feet tall, and it was just totally amazing. Well, I see we're already running at 24 minutes, so I think we're going to have to postpone the Talking Word Puzzles demo for a later show. I apologize for getting your hopes all up for that, but I promise you we will do it very, very soon. That is going to do it for today's show. Remember, you can contact us on our audio comment line at 206-984-9203, email us at blindcooltech@gmail.com, or check out our website at aph.org/tech/bct.htm. I'm Larry Skutkun, wishing you all a great weekend. See y'all later.